Kaf, verse. Well, let me start at verse what, 7, and then it goes on down to. But let me, and you can see down further, but in verse. Let me go to verse 7. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also receive us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. And that the Gentiles, notice this one, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. This is powerful. The unmerited favor, mercy. That means if God had executed the justice, judgment against us, we'd never be saved. But instead, he mercy. And his mercies is new. Every morning, great is thy faithfulness, and he in wrath remember mercies. See, so, and his mercies is from everlasting to everlasting. So this is what God did for, this is what God did for the Gentiles. He said that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. This is what you need to thank him for. Not because you're good and not because you're righteous, but because of his mercies. It tells us that it's according to his mercies we are saved, right? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And verse 9 says, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. This is what we are to do. Thank God and praise him and glorify God for his mercies. When we, in the morning, just don't take God for granted and be stubborn in our spirits, but we need to be tender and praise him, glorify God for his mercy. There's something to pray for every morning. His mercies are new every morning, and you glorify God for his mercies. As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Now it is written there. You need to 9b. There's a follow up scripture where it's written. For it is written. Right? Where would that be? You need to find that scripture. For it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Somebody could read that for me. What does it say there? I will confess to thee thy name. It sounds like more like Isaiah. Confess to thee thy name. Go back, still at verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he said, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, Look at this. All these promises. Somebody said, I don't know how and what to do. It's showing you right here how to worship God. It's giving directions to us. You want to know how? He said, I have to call up someone on the phone or write for a little booklet to find out how to worship God. No, it tells you right here. See? Let me go over it again. And that the Gentiles, verse 9, might glorify God, one, for his mercies. As it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice, go ahead, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, are you following it?
Yes.
Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. What if you have a church that's doing this?
Hallelujah.
But we come to church sulking and pouting and have the world on our shoulder, and we're mad at everybody. And we're upset at everybody. We pout.
Amen.
As if Wednesday night we're doing God a favor. God make me come to church. I could have been home doing something better. No. Rejoice. Here's the purpose of life.
Yes.
This is what you were made for.
Yes.
This is why he saved you.
Yes.
He didn't save you to please you.
Yes.
We were saved to please him.
Yes.
This is what we're supposed to do. And it's not what God's doing for us. Well, what is he doing for me? No, it's what we were created for, his good pleasure.
Amen.
Praise God. And that the Gentiles, it says, rejoice ye Gentiles, verse 10, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, or praise him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, remember I told you Isaiah said, there shall be a root. That's chapter 9, isn't it? There shall be a root, chapter 11. There shall be a root out of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles trust. Well, there's none greater than Christ to be trusting in. This is where our trust. Our trust is in the Lord. And they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. And he said, trust in the Lord, all ye Gentiles. This is where you trust. Not in men, but in the Lord. If you ever put your trust in God and begin to praise him,
amen,
you would see how much you come alive.
Amen.
He says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace
in
believing that he may abound in hope through the power. See how powerful the Holy Ghost is? That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So God wants us to praise him. Then let me go down a little bit to verse 14. Read on. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. That, look at it, look, this is powerful. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And look at our minister, Paul, that was given to us by Jesus Christ. Look at how he leads us. Look at how he leads the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and to so that they will have an inheritance among the brethren, among the saints of God. But look at how he shows us. Look how we just read that. All those verses, how he was telling us how to praise the Lord. Huh? What a teacher that was. How to serve the Lord. Lord him all ye Gentiles. Give him glory. And Paul said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. What did he minister? Ministering the gospel of God. Wow. Hallelujah. What did he minister? The gospel of God. That. Oh, hallelujah. Look at how he ministered so we would get out of darkness into light. That all of that our ignorance would pass and the true light would shine in our hearts. That's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, which is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. And that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. You see, you can offer up, but you're doing in ignorance. But it has to be done right. We have to be taught in the Lord how to present our offering and what to bring to the Lord. How you don't bring calves and lambs and goats or turtle dove anymore. Animal sacrifice. But what do we bring? The sacrifice of praise. The fruits of our lips giving thanks. But what do you present on the offering? What do you present on the altar? You have to know what to offer up. And it says that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have wherefore I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of those things which Christ had not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient. See, you have to hear a message that will change you from disobedient, from rebellion. You see that stubbornness that we still have? It's because you're not hearing the message. You hear words, but it's not getting down in your heart to change you. When you hear that message, you kick it and said, I'm going to do my stuff that I've always done. Nobody's going to change me. So that's rebellion. And the message is not taking a hold of your heart. But the word, it says that the Gentiles may be obedient. Yeah. Obedient that, and when the Gentile heard this, they were glad. Amen. And they wanted to know how to worship God, how to make changes. And Paul was sent to explain and to show the Gentiles how to worship God and how to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, and be not, listen to this now, conformed. You can present, but you're conformed. It doesn't work that way. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, you have to change. You cannot respond to the world every time they call you or reach out for you. You have to get to where you can say no. You have to get to the place where it's Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And you have to make all men see that Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of the Gentiles. Let your light so shine. But you cannot be a light and darkness at the same time. You've got to be a light. And let men see the light of God inside of you. See, and I like this. That the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Okay, verse 17. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertaining to God. For, verse 18, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word, two things, by word and by deed, not just your lips, but by your deed, by word and by deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from, notice, Jerusalem on round about unto Illyricum, I have fully. That's the way you do it. Not a little piece here, one verse here, a little text here. If you spent your Christian life sitting just on listening to texts here and texts there, all you're going to have is text. You're not going to have very much. But Paul said in Acts, and I'll get there in a minute, Acts 20, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. So here it says, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Amen. Verse 20 says, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. See, the devil will hinder you, people will hinder you, your own self can hinder you, unless you be obedient and you submit to the Lord. Now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and be brought on my way thitherwards by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now, I want to go to Acts, the 20th chapter, where Paul was this was about getting to be his last missionary, last time that he would see some of these people, or some of these saints. And in Acts, the 20th chapter, he came to there, and he called them from, was it Miletus? Okay. I want for your sake read verse 17. You can read the rest for yourself. But in verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all season, serving the Lord with all humility. Do you understand that? Humility of your mind, not pride. Do you get that? You have to have humility. But when you have the pride and I'm going to do it, you're in trouble. And when they were, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. That's in your mind. Humility of mind. And when you put the word of Christ, let this mind be in you, which it was in Christ, right? He being the form of God, taught in that robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, obedient to death, took on himself the form of a servant. Verse 19, and with all, with many tears and temptation, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back. Notice what a man of God, what a preacher does. Oh, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That is for salvation. He opened up the word of God. See, you go to church and somebody give you a little verse here and a little verse, and then they get you hype and get you on a high, and you feel that you've been in church and you come out not knowing anything, and years after you find out that you don't know the scriptures because he's been feeding you, but not with the old counsel of God. Amen. He's just giving you a little sip right here, but it's not enough for you to understand the things of God, the mind of God. Amen. And you can sit in church for years and you find you don't know nothing, because you can only grow if you hear something new from the word of God, the revelation of the word of God. Verse 20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you. How did he show them? He explained, like I'm showing you tonight from the word of God. But I have showed you, and I've taught you publicly. Yeah, anybody can come in. Openly. It's not a secret. Publicly, the mysteries of God. And if somebody is getting it, but you're not getting it, after you're in church years and years, and you don't make changes, you're still a stubborn, rebellious, there's nothing working in your spirit. You do exactly what you want to do. And you don't care. See? That means the word is not working inside of you. There's no humility of mind inside of you. But it's an exalted. Amen. I will. I have. But the Bible said we ought to cast down imaginations and every secret thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. You see, it's not me, my I, but it's him. Lord, what will you have me to do? You put God first. And you trust in the Lord with all your might and become obedient unto the word of God. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable. This powerful. I kept back nothing. I kept back nothing. In other words, he didn't pass over scriptures and hide them that was profitable for you. He spent time explaining the mysteries, breaking it down, that you might understand and come into a knowledge of the word of God. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you. How? Line upon line. It is written. Remember how many times he said it is written? He's going to scripture. Huh? And show you. And I've taught you publicly. And from house to house. What a message. Hallelujah. Testifying both to Jews, to the Greek or the Gentiles, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But he still went, because he knew that God was with him. And men could bind him, but the word of God was not bound. They put him in prison, but he was still a free man. Because whom the Son of God have set free is free indeed. So when you're not free because you have, well, I'll do my own stuff. I have my free will. I go, yes, you. But you're not. That's not freedom. Because you step out and do what you want to do. That's bondage. Because the devil put you in bondage and you cannot obey God because you're bound by that spirit. You said, oh, no, I can. Well, try it. Try obeying God. Wait. Try break out of habits by yourself. Go ahead and try it and see if you can get out. Try. But before the day is over, you're right back in it. Because it takes the Son of God to set you free. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost to break the yoke of the devil. You can't do it by yourself. You said, oh, I'm just doing it. No, you cannot do it by yourself. You tried. The devil will put you in bondage and he have you going through the same thing. One day after another, you go through the same thing. Because he has that power over you. And it's only Jesus Christ can set you free. Amen. Only Christ can set you free from that strong man who's called Satan. He doesn't set his prisoners free. And you look at yourself, sit down and consider and think, why am I doing the same thing? And I know I shouldn't do that, but how come I still do it? Try getting out. The battle starts. And you have to get down on your knees and ask God and say, I'm a failure. Help me. But if you think you can do it by yourself and turn over, you'll find out. Or you think, oh, that's just me, just an habit. You try getting free. Try changing. It's only God. Those are the things that seem so simple and natural. Try changing it. And you see the battle that was going on. As long as you do it, there's no battle. But when you begin to say, all right, I'm going to change this. And I'm going to replace it with Bible. With meditation. With waiting on God. You exchange some of those habits or stuff and time wasted. And say, I'm going to give that to God and see what happens.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Things that look so simple, that were just ordinary, you'll see what battle you have.
Amen.
Try stop watching your favorite program on Saturday night. And decide to read your Bible and go to bed so you can come to church. All awake and alive. Try that. Your special movie is coming on, or something's going to happen. You try turning off those things. Or get on your knees and begin to meditate. Try spend some time with the Lord.
Amen.
And begin to seek. You go ahead and say, Lord, I'm going to seek you with all my heart.
Yes.
And I'm going to spend time with you.
Yes.
You find out that there's something behind it that don't want you to go forward in God. But you have to resist that. And the Bible said, resist the devil. What does it mean to resist? It's a wrestling match. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then you draw nigh to God. You have to fill up that space. It's not just resisting the devil, but you got to get to and say, no, I am not in Jesus' name. Because I gave you power over all the power of the enemy. But you have to use it. It's not well. Quoting scripture, he gave me power all and you're running to disobey God. You have to let the Holy Spirit work his work in you. Verse 24, right? Says, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. So that I might, there's a course. Everybody look at me. There is a course that you're taking just like you go to college. Right? And you miss, you skip, you fool around, you don't pay attention. When the test comes to grade you, you've come short. You come short. See, said that none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify. Here's the ministry. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's the grace that came by Jesus Christ. This word is powerful. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching, notice what he was preaching, underline that, because he preached that among the Gentiles. Everywhere Paul went, he preached the kingdom of God. Can I ask you a question? Is that what's being preached today? No. You turn your television on. It's out to be better you. Or something. You understand. But he was preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more, because his ministry was coming to an end. And he preached. We know what he preached. The kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. He preached the kingdom of God among you. Wherefore I take you as witness to record this day. Notice that I am pure from the blood of all men. I did my job. That's all a pastor has to do. He doesn't make you do it or obey. Somebody say, pastor can't make me. No, he's not supposed to. He just had to preach. And whether you hear it or forbear it, his work is finished. Noah built an ark, that's all he had to do. And the Lord said, get in, close the door, that's it. See, you have to, you have to, there's something that you have to do. You have to get into the ark. And you have to get into Christ. You and Christ in you, the hope of glory. For I have not shunned, look at what he did. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. For I have not shunned. So that means he declared it. That's the job of a pastor, a minister, is to declare the whole counsel of God. Tell it, the old mystery revealed, the program of God. The counsel, the will and purpose of God for the Gentiles, for the Jews, for the kings. Praise God. What a church. But notice, delivering the old counsel of God includes the preaching of the kingdom.
Amen.
I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. But what did he say just up at verse 25 or so? What did he say there? And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom, there it is, the counsel of God, I have gone preaching. Preaching what? The kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Now, go back down to
take heed
therefore
unto yourself,
verse 28, and to all that are over all the flock, yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost, notice who make you overseer, not men, it's not men, it's the Holy Ghost that chose you. And if the Holy Ghost refuse you, you're in trouble. See, it's not a man that does it. It's God that choose. Now, if that the Holy Ghost, I mean, I can fool a man. We can fool human beings, but you cannot fool the Holy Ghost. He says, take ye therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Somebody say, I don't have to report to the minister. I don't have to tell him what I do or go or hear. I just do what I want to do. You don't understand the scripture. You're as lost as they can come. There's an order to God. But because somebody pull on you and you're not taught or you're not listening, then you do what you want to do. A church cannot do what he wants to do. There's what's there. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Over the which, who? The Holy Ghost had made you overseer, not a human. It's the Holy Ghost put the pastor, the ministry over the flock. All right, so when you try to outsmart the pastor, you get that? You give him a spin. You don't know the Bible. You're rebellious. You're not a submissive flock. You're a wolf. Amen. You don't understand. Here's a pastor has a responsibility in overseeing. You know what an overseer means? All right. If you're a supervisor on a job, you know everything. If they come early or late, if they're not working, if they take too long a break, if they're talking too much, or if the work that they're doing is not good, they're not working fast enough. He knows. And a pastor, an overseer, a man of God is there to know. And he's supposed to know the state of the flock. Who is doing what? And let me ask you a question. A supervisor, does a supervisor have to beg someone to do something? And that person, does that person have a choice? If that overseer give them an assignment, can they refuse it and still keep their job? You got to understand what an overseer is. You just sneak by. You don't have to report. You don't have to say nothing like that. You do whatever you want to do. In, out, up, down. And you're going to go to heaven with that spirit. And God's going to give you responsibility. You don't know the Bible. It says that he's got to take heed to himself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made him overseers. Praise God. Not man. The Holy Ghost put you over that. No, it's not the people that put you over themselves and select and said, we want you over. No, it's the Holy Spirit that put you over as an overseer. To do what? To feed the church. But how can you feed them when they're not here? They take off, do what they want to do. Come if they want to, go when they want to. Come on, listen. Are you listening now? Amen. Are you listening?
Yes.
Don't act like you're listening because I'm talking to you. And I keep saying it until you listen. What is an overseer? Who is an overseer? And what is his job? To feed the church of God. And notice, it's not up to you. But that church is already purchased with his blood. That means it bought, paid for with the blood. So what he's feeding is something that's already bought and paid for by the blood. Not you. It's not whether I want to do it. If you are a sheep, that's what it said. If you are a flock, unless you are not. But if you are, you're under discipline, governments. And somebody has to oversee you. Now, an overseer. Here's somebody, he's an overseer. And that person want to leave early. And they decide, I'm not going to tell the overseer, I'm going to just clock out and leave. I'm not going to check with him. I don't have to check with him. He works here and I work here too. So I'm going to leave. Would that work?
No.
Don't try that with your supervisor.
No.
So what about the church? What about the church? You mean that your job is more important than a church? The church is disorganized? You couldn't do it on your job, but you can do it in the church. Huh? You could skip, you cannot skip your job, but you can skip the church. Ah, because there's nobody in charge. Because you don't read the Bible. Because you don't understand. Here's what he says. He said to Paul, says, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. All the flock. Yes, yes. That little old mean old brother that think he's the boss in the church. Deacon, sit him down if he's rude. Nobody override the pastor. Oh, we're going to gang up and we... You know, when there's a problem in church, you all hide it from the pastor. That's not your job. It's his job to oversee.
Amen.
Well, that's my cousin. Does not have nothing to do with it. Who's my cousin? Who's my mother? Who's my brother? My sister? Those that do the will of God.
Amen.
See, when it comes to Christ and the church, there's no cousin, brother, sister relationship. It's only the relationship with God.
Amen.
And that's your problem. When cousins and sisters and brothers, it doesn't work in church. That's a different, you're in a different dimension. Hallelujah. You're in a dimension that was purchased with blood. The blood of Jesus. God's son died for the church. And Paul said, take ye therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost and made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased. He purchased it with blood, but it's the ministry overseer has to feed them. And he's got to, listen, he has to come and he has to know what to put in there because some are babies. And he has to crush it a little finer. But those that are mature, he gives them strong meat. And he has to know the temperature. How hot, how cold. This is awesome. This is an awesome responsibility. To feed the church of God, which he had purchased. You know you purchase something? Huh? You go and you purchase something, buy, you fully paid for, that's yours. And Christ died for the church. He bought it with his blood.
Amen.
It belongs to God, not you. So when someone get on the phone and pull you out and try to pull you away from God and the church, they're treading dangerous territory. Because you're not your own. You're not your own. You were bought and paid for. You listening? You're not getting it. You're really not getting it. You still think you belong to yourself. You were bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. And he doesn't owe anything to anybody for you. And he doesn't have to ask you if he can wake you up and say, get on your knees and pray. He doesn't ask you if you want to come to church. He tells you, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some age. You see the day approaching. Let me begin to wind this down. Says that.
For I know this.
Yes. That after my departure. That means he's going. Shall grievous ministers, deacons, pastors, church mother, church brothers, church sisters. You name it, right? Dangerous wolves, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. You ever know what a wolf is? Also, notice, also of your own selves, shall men arise speaking perverse things. They're doing it for a motive, to pull away. You ever somebody, they form a little clique and come around, and you know that even that Facebook is dangerous. You gotta watch what you listen and what you put up on that Facebook. You know, it's a waste of time getting them on Facebook. I'm putting up some ugly picture. What profit is it? Anything, if you have that little space of time, you put on Facebook should be to the glory of God. Yep. Amen. Why would you put up something that you look like a monkey? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Why would you waste time and do that? Where is the Christ in you? Where is the love of God inside of you? You get displayed some funny looking. You're ugly enough. You don't have to do that. But you ought to let the beauty of Christ. I'm serious. You ought to let the beauty of Christ shine. You know, and a lot of they're always that. You ought to get off. Some people ought to get off of Facebook. If you can't use it for Christ. Let your light so shine before men. And you get up there and begin to show your muscles and you begin to show your... Who cares about that? Show the glory of God. Let's see the glory of God in you. Why not? You know, and you're displaying ignorance when you should be intelligent. I say, oh God. I sometimes look on Facebook and I see some things that... How could ever, in wisdom, common sense, put those stuff up? I tell you, if you want to know, pray and ask Jesus if he likes that. Am I coming through?
Amen.
You ought to, if you got some funny little ugly stuff up there, you ought to erase it like yesterday. Funny looking stuff. Yeah. Huh? Put Christ up.
Amen.
Quote a scripture verse or do something.
Yes.
Otherwise, stay off.
Amen.
And don't let the ignorance in us show.
That's right.
But let the Christ in you.
Amen.
Don't you have common sense to know that? You are supposed to be a light. And a testimony, and let the world is looking. And when they look at what image do they get of us? You say, well, somebody else do it. Don't worry about somebody else. It's about you.
Amen.
Well, my cousin do it. Don't worry about what your cousin do. You're not responsible for them. If they want to walk bare feet in the sand, that's fine. You understand what I'm saying? And some other things. In the sand. But will you not just go there and... All right, that's not what I was going to preach on. But let me... See, for I noticed that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch. There it is. Mark 13 tells you, Jesus said, watch. That's the same. Watch. And remember, pray. Remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What a message. 3 years. And he's still warning it day and night. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. It's over. See, one day a man's ministry will come, no matter where he is, come to an end. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. His nice three-piece suits and gold watch and yea. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. That means You help them, not the strong. But the strong ought to support, like you have your church. It's weak. It needs help. Everybody here is responsible to not take, but to give to the church.
Amen.
To protect it in every area.
Amen.
To watch out for it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Here is the church is over. The lights can't turn off itself. They're weak. But you're strong. You can reach out and put a switch. Huh? Am I right? You can turn off your condition. You can turn off a furnace. You can turn off something. But no. I pay my tithe and offering. Your little tithe and offering is not even for the light bill. See, you've got to have that love in your heart. And that's why the blessing of God doesn't come upon a lot. You see, you've got to turn that all that and begin to glorify God, begin to love God, and say, His mercy upon my life and His grace upon my life makes me want to go over there and switch that light off. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You got to lose that bad spirit and put God first, not your spirit. I have showed you all things. I did. I'm just trying to show you everything. How that soul laboring, he ought to support the weak. Laboring, help the church, support the weak. And how is the church going to go another month unless you put your tithe and put it? You don't use it for yourself. It's not yours. You were bought with a price. It's not yours. Your tithe is not yours. It's the Lord. He bought you and he said, give me that. So you don't have the right. Well, I do. Try that with IRS. Keep back a dollar from them. And they didn't die for you. But they sure built a prison for you. I have showed you all things. All that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, It is more blessed. Are you listening to that now? It is more blessed to give than to receive. I didn't say that. That's Paul that said that. Because Jesus said it. He was just reminding us what Jesus said. So it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had spoken this, they didn't get mad and upset and mad. But look what they did. He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck. And kissed him. Sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Amen. And he was gone.